The latest tips and equipment to improve your game. The latest from the leaderboards and your favorite courses. This is Golf in the Northwest, an action-packed hour about everything golf. Now, here's your host for Golf in the Northwest, Jason Swigert.
And a fine good morning to you all, as we are officially in summer, although you wouldn't have known it with some of the rain this week. But today is supposed to be gorgeous. We are going to touch 90, I believe, early in the week, and then settle into the ideal summer, upper 70s, lower 80s, cooling off at night, why we all love living here in the lovely Pacific Northwest. Back in studio, need to say, Will Ortner, Luke, thank you very much. Last week we were trying to connect out there at Elk Ridge for the Solstice on the Ridge tournament. Just couldn't make it happen, so I appreciate you guys filling in there for the segment.
Yeah, of course. Well, and you know, the beauties of Elk Ridge is that you can kind of get away. You can put the phone away. You don't have to worry about anyone calling you. You can just go play golf.
And boy, we did, even though it was a little misty, a little cool, a little windy. But what a tournament. All those Solstice tournaments, now that I've played in one, we didn't embarrass ourselves. We did not finish last. It was a little sluggish out of the gate with us 50-year-old crew, but managed to pull it in, minus 11, started making some birdies there. But Brad and his crew, we had a great, great time, hoping the schedule will line up with hops and whatever else might be on the docket, but it all lines up. We'd love to be out there again, and boy, if other courses can pull that off, boy, it's a lot of fun. Especially with if you're with a good group and friends, and we had a blast. So thank you. Hopefully everybody else that played in tournaments on the Solstice got the most out of it and had a great time. So hopefully that's something we'll see more of here in the Portland area. It does take quite a bit to give up the course to a limited group for a day, but a lot of fun was had all over the place. We have a very busy hour. Good friend of the show, Pat McCabe, the executive director, tournament director of the American Express down there at La Quinta, our old friend from the days of the Winco Foods Portland Open out of Pumpkin Ridge, caught up with him. And so we're going to have a little chat about the new CEO of the PGA Tour, Brian Rolapp, coming over from the NFL. That big news kind of launched over the last week or so. Had an introductory, some press conferences, did the media tours up there at the Travelers last week. Just what the reaction has been, and from his standpoint of running a tournament, dealing with sponsors, kind of what is first on the docket, what's the most important things for him to come in and start to address right away, as there still seems to be a lot of tumult with the future settling in with scheduling and sponsorships and LIV and PGA Tour, all that fun stuff. We'll get his perspective on it because it's very unique about that. Coming up at 8:30, we're going to go down the valley again. It's just some great hidden gems, some golf courses down in the valley. Mark Tunstall is the PGA General Manager, owner, operator of Mallard Creek Golf Course and RV Resort down in Lebanon. And so I'm curious, one, he recently took over ownership with his wife. So being an independent proprietor of a golf course, similar to the way Elk Ridge is, curious about that, as well as the course down there in the valley. And then a little discussion at the end. Now that Keegan Bradley had that big victory at Travelers, he's seventh in the world golf rankings. He's seventh or eighth, I think now, eighth or ninth in the Ryder Cup point standing. And as captain, is he going to be the first playing captain since Arnold Palmer back in the 60s? He talked about that in his winner's press conference, and we'll have a little discussion about that to end on the show. So let's not waste any more time. Four tours in action. Let's get right inside the ropes.
It's time for an insider's look at the leaderboards. The latest on all tours, plus local golf events and golf news. This is Inside the Ropes, part of Golf in the Northwest.
Four tours in action we mentioned that we are following. We'll start on the Korn Ferry Tour. 16 of 26 events. They are in Springfield, Illinois, Panther Creek Country Club. 7,258 yards playing in a par 71. They had a little weather yesterday. They had to finish up the second round this morning. So Austin Smotherman and Luke Guthrie at 14 under par. And they will turn around and go right back out in about an hour and a half this morning. But Smotherman had a bogey-free 8 under 63 and is looking for his second win of the season. If he gets it, he would move to number one on the points list and pretty much lock up his PGA Tour card. Luke Guthrie, however, longtime journeyman. He spent a number of years on the PGA Tour, a name he's like, oh, I've seen that name before. But he's looking to get back there. 95th right now on the points list coming in. So if he can get a win, he would get up there right on the bubble, somewhere around 19 or 20. And trying to play his way back onto the PGA Tour. Alvaro Ortiz, the younger brother there, the former Winco winner, Carlos Ortiz, he is at 13 under par, one shot back. But again, another jammed field as you have 9 golfers within 4 shots of the lead going into the weekend in a birdie fest. The LPGA Tour, congratulations to Minji Lee winning that U.S. Open or the LPGA Open last week at Frisco. It was their first major championship at that course down at Frisco, something you're going to see. There was a lot of concern from the players if it was truly unfair. They were hitting good shots into the greens they weren't holding. So I think they're going to have some work to do on that. I think there's a PGA championship coming up in the next few years as Frisco is the home of the PGA of America headquarters. So it'll be interesting to see. So after just a brutal week down there at Frisco, they get a fun team event, the Dow Championships. Midland, Michigan is where they are. A team event, Jennifer Kupcho looking to win this for a second time. Won in 2022, runner-up a year ago. This time she's partnered with Leona McGuire. They are 13 under par. Had a 60 yesterday in the best ball event. So it was alternate shot on rounds 1 and 3, best ball in rounds 2 and 4. They are one shot clear of Gemma Dryberg and Cassie Porter. Sarah Schmelzel, Albin Valenzuela teaming up. They are at 11 under. So some fun names up at the top, but it's just a fun event. Lexi Thompson playing with Megan Kang. They are in the field at 8 under par. So a fun event there. Coverage on Golf Channel will be from noon to 3 today and tomorrow. A chance to let their hair down. They are getting close to heading over to Europe for the AIG Women's Open, the Evian, 2 majors over there coming up in just a few weeks. We do have a major being played this week, the U.S. Senior Open, the Broadmoor East Course at Colorado Springs. And it is a par 70, 7,100 yards that they are playing. Padraig Harrington, Stuart Sink, and Mark Hensby all tied for the lead at 6 under par. Padraig looking for his second U.S. Senior Open win. Won it in 2022, finished tied for 16th last year. It's his 9th start this season. Still looking for a win this year. He won in 2024. It would be his 10th win on the PGA Tour champion. Stuart Sink had the low round of the day, birdied 5 of his final 7 holes to get in with a 66 and a 6 under. Looking for his 3rd win. He won earlier this year at the Insperity Invitational. And that brings us to the PGA Tour, the Rocket Classic. After the signature event and the U.S. Open, a lot of guys taking a week off. They are starting to make their plans to head over across the pond as well. They'll have the Scottish Open, the Irish Open, the Open Championship at Portrush. So they will spend a few weeks over across the pond. But for the rest of the field, a chance to make some hay in the FedEx Cup, try to get into that top 100 and secure your card. Chris Kirk and Philip Knowles, Andrew Putnam, all tied at 14 under par. Putnam, the Tacoma native, looking for his second tour victory. Chris Kirk, trying to play his way back near the top. He's on the bubble right now, 101 in FedEx Cup point standings. So a win would put him up to 48. Andrew Putnam there at 92, and then Philip Knowles at 195 just needs to get into the top 100. But we had a course record. Jake Knapp, after an opening round 72, had a 61 to set the course record. He's in contention at 11 under par. It is a birdie fest out there. You have 27 players within three shots of the lead going into this. Will be tons of fun if you like guys making birdies. Cameron Champ, 6 under through 11 today. He's got it to 13 under. We see Patrick Cantlay, Michael Kim at 5 under as well. So guys can go low. Coverage picks up at 10 this morning on Golf Channel, noon on CBS. That's what's going on around the tours. When we come back, sit down with Pat McCabe, the tournament director, executive director of the American Express down there at La Quinta, our good friend, finding out what the reaction has been to the announcement about a week and a half ago that Jay Monahan will be stepping aside from his role as commissioner. Brian Rolapp, the number two man in the NFL hierarchy, coming over, taking over as the CEO of the PGA Tour. That discussion next as we get going. It's Golf in the Northwest on 1080 The Fan. Welcome back in on this final Saturday in June, Golf West. Although you wouldn't know it was summer. All of a sudden, we had a great spring. And now summer, and we got a little drizzly, so it's supposed to get super hot again for those of you heading out enjoying summer on the links. But the PGA Tour making big news a couple of weeks ago with the announcement that Jay Monahan will step down as commissioner in 2026, and they have plucked their next executive from the NFL. Brian Rolapp was the number two man. And I wanted to let it breathe a little bit and then get into a conversation. And the person I thought of first was our good friend, Pat McCabe, who is the executive director of the Amex tournament down there in Palm Springs. He's with Sport 5. He's been involved running golf tournaments going back to our days with the Winco out there at Pumpkin Ridge. But kind enough to join us here this morning to get a little flavor for just how this has been received. But good morning, Pat. Thanks so much for taking a few minutes. And first of all, we haven't talked to you for a while. So how are things there living the life of a PGA Tour tournament director?
Yeah, good morning. Thanks for having me on, Swag. Good to talk to you. Appreciate you thinking of me. Things are great. Yeah, we're here end of June, fully ramping up for the 68th edition of the American Express PGA Tour event down in sunny La Quinta, California. Things are going really well. We're immersed in our sales process and cycle and signing up sponsors, and it'll be here before you know it. So, but thanks for coming on and or having me on, and look forward to shedding some light on any questions you might have. So,
well, yeah, and I'm curious, as you are, you know, the lead out to having sponsors and volunteers and all of those things in place, and people, you know, when you run a golf tournament to that size, you have all that lead up stuff has to be there. So when it gets time to the tournament, then you're just focusing on, you know, who the field's going to be and what the weather's going to be like and making sure all those things are present. When the announcement came a few weeks ago, one that Jay Monahan was going to step aside from day-to-day operations, I'm sure he might be involved in the board or as an advisor for a while, and then you found out from the NFL somebody outside of the golf world is going to come in and be in charge of day-to-day operations. How was it initially received, and how has it gone here in the word getting out for a few weeks?
Yeah, look, I think, I mean, the NFL is sort of the gold standard, right? With all that they've been able to do from a media perspective, from an attention perspective. I mean, in your world, you guys cover the season, but is there a day or a week that goes by on your program that you don't speak about the National Football
League?
It is
the rare day. It is a yong bong being drafted that will get us to not discuss the NFL for a day.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, look, it dominates sports, right? It dominates pop culture, even, as you see. They've done a heck of a job, and I know the history there is such, where he was essentially the number two to Roger Goodell, who's just that league continues to get stronger. And so I think it's, it's a sense of optimism amongst my peers and colleagues on the PGA Tour at this level. He comes, I think he joked, he worked in the bag room at Congressional, might be his only golf experience, but certainly that's okay. I mean, a lot of members on my team don't have a whole lot of golf experience, but the foundation's set, and I think he's done a great job right as it was announced. I believe he was on site at the Travelers Championship. He was on site this week at the Rocket Classic outside of Detroit. And no, positive. I haven't had an opportunity to meet him or speak with him yet. I think that's upcoming here in short order. But yeah, I think there's a lot to be done, a lot of opportunity. But I think, I mean, really, the tour's in a great spot. And I think, you know, a year ago, there was all like the media components of viewership down, so on and so forth. And then you look at it seems like every week each event is breaking records as far as viewership perspective. And, you know, seeing the numbers from the Travelers this past week with Keegan's historic win and stuff like that. So game's in a strong place, but always opportunity to improve and get better every day for sure.
Well, and he is coming in as the CEO of PGA Tour Inc., and some of this is semantics and obviously the restructuring of things, creating a for-profit entity for the PGA Tour so they could accept $1.5 billion of investment from SSG.
Yeah.
But is he essentially, is it your understanding at this point, he will be serving most of the functions that Jay Monahan did?
I think so. And I look, the tournament business affairs of the PGA Tour is strong, right? So, you know, in my day to day, I wouldn't necessarily, as with any organization, be reporting to the CEO and him, but he's got a heck of a team around him, both in Ponte Vedra at headquarters. And then, you know, those men and women travel week in and week out across the tour. And there's so many entities and levels, right? I mean, you've got the players, you've got the rules officials, you've got the tournament host organizations, you've got the media components, you've got the fans, which I'm fortunate to sit on a sub board right now of really the fan forward approach of the PGA Tour is something that is at high priority. As it, we're really actively surveying fans week in and week out about the product on site, right? It's one thing to watch it on your couch at home, but it's another thing to go and invest money and pay to park your car and go walk around and see the greatest players in the world. So I think there's a big balance there. I think it's a steep learning curve, but he's got a great support team around him, and listening to the players, listening to the tournaments, listening to the fans, there'll be a lot of inflow for sure. And I don't expect real like immediate quick changes, but I think absorbing all that info and making educated changes and discussions is the way to go.
Chatting here with Pat McCabe, executive director of the Amex tournament on the PGA Tour, the new head of day-to-day operations for the PGA Tour, Brian Rolapp, coming in. Obviously, the number two man over there. As far as media goes, and he was the chief negotiator for the last couple of rounds of media deals with the NFL. So his experience there working with TV partners and streaming and taking advantage of digital is where he will be able to probably provide the most impact immediately. But if you got a call from him the other day saying, I'm working through all our tournament directors, I'd be curious your thoughts. What do you think the most pressing issue is for him? What would you put at the top of his priority list that you would like to see him tackle here as he takes over the reins?
Yeah, I think it's, I mean, the uniqueness of the tour, right? I mean, it's a player owned league, right? All the players are independent contractors, and unlike the NFL or the majority of professional sports where there's a sole owner per se and our ownership group in each city, there's the player. It's a player organization that drives a lot of this, but also uniquely with the PGA Tour. Now the PGA Tour does own and operate its series of championships, premium events, right? Whether that's the Players Championship or, you know, the event in Memphis or the Tour Championship, right? They've got their division, but typically every week on tour is got a community-based host organization and local operator. So it's such a unique model. I think it's one that's become, you know, a focal point and thriving. I mean, our little tournament in La Quinta has raised almost $70 million in its history, and so many events are doing so much good for the community week in, week out. And it's, but I think it's identifying all of the different stakeholders, listening to them, hearing what's important, and then implementing the best plan, right? Like I said, you've got the fans, you've got the title sponsors, you've got other official marketing partners of the PGA Tour, and yeah, the media component, but really tying those in together. And I think taking some of his experience on the NFL, I heard a very interesting, I think it was a podcast recently where the discussion was on, you know, Thursday night NFL, right? And I think that that was probably a pushback for the players for a while, but look how well it's consumed, right? Yeah. And look at the dollars that are able to be generated, whether it be on the media component, from a sponsorship component. And look, I think the tour is doing a good job of that. I think the TGL this year was a great example. A fun, new, innovative way to absorb the product and learn more. There's so many great personalities out there, right? And the athletes are the star of the show. There's so many good stories. And I think telling those stories to the fans and to the different entities is crucial. So,
as you're getting to hear feedback of fans coming to PGA Tour events, is there something that is a common thread, whether it's your tournament or other tournaments? I know you help other tournaments out around the country. Is there a common thread of fans saying, man, we wish we had the ability to do this or have access to this more than anything else as far as the in-person experience?
Yeah, I mean, look, there's some basic stuff. I mean, as simple as, you know, reducing carbon footprint and water refill stations on the golf course, right? Or Wi-Fi accessibility, you know, unlike other professional sports leagues where you've got a permanent stadium to which you can build that infrastructure, we are building our stadium, right? And so you're spread across dozens of acres, which is a benefit to us, right? You can watch so many different points and experiences, but it's tricky sometimes and to find a Wi-Fi signal when you're out on the sixth hole at PGA West.
Yeah.
So it's how you absorb it. And golf is such a unique component, right? Where, you know, there's two to three players per group, depending on the hole that you're viewing. You're only watching 15 to 20 seconds of actions every 15 minutes. So what bridges that time in between? You know, I think we've done a great job of that in our history, just of we can never control who's going to be playing inside right. The ropes. So we've been very fortunate, right? We've had Scottie Scheffler, we've had Xander, we've had Ricky Fowler, and a great field. But we've also had amazing concerts. We've had Keith Urban, Journey, you know, and so many events are doing. You see what Phoenix is doing. You see what next week at the John Deere, I think they've got Zach Brown playing literally on the 18th green after play concludes. So it's an entertainment product. It's a spectator-driven component. And a big piece of the revenue structure of every tournament is those fans, right? It's not just the tickets. Yeah. It's the concessions. It's the merchandise. It's the parking. It's the, you know, the local hospitality component. So, again, long-winded answer as I typically do, but there's a lot to it. And I think it's also, we are doing a better job now just as an organization, listening to one another, right? Like sharing best practices amongst tournaments, and making it so that the fans are watching it at home. That's important, but they're just having an incredible experience on site, because golf, like I said, it can be tricky. You got to park way off site. You've got to walk a fair amount. And so really seeing that sweet spot and identifying what's the best for them, I think is a big part of it right now, for sure.
The other elephant in the room might be shrinking a little bit as time goes on, but how important do you think it is for Brian Rolapp to address and possibly solve the divide between LIV Golf and the PGA Tour?
It's a good question, Jason. I don't know. I think it's somewhat fizzled, right? I mean, the LIV product is one where it's certainly a different component. There's music on every hole. It's 54 holes. It's a shotgun. I think some of those players have been excelling in the majors, right? I mean, yeah. You look what Bryson's been able to do. You look what John did at at Quail Hollow a month or so ago. And, you know, there's some great players. I think that we'd love to have them back on the PGA Tour, but some of that's out of anybody's control, right? It's contractual, right? Yeah. They signed a contract with that organization. I think James Pyatt may have been the first person this week. He's local to Detroit, who's got a sponsor exemption into the Rocket Classic. I don't know. It's just been going on so long, but I think it's promising to hear week in, week out, like I said from the outset of the ratings. I mean, over 3 million people were watching the Travelers on Sunday in the middle of June and the beginning part of summer. So, but I think, look, it's interesting because a Thursday night NFL game in September or even a preseason game tends to trump the ratings of any other sport, whether that's Major League Baseball, MLB, MLS, golf, or what have you. So I think, you know, getting a peek or the best practices that they've absorbed there, look what they did with the, you know, the Amazon live stream component. But I think the media components, it's interesting, but it's evolving, right? You get some of those younger components, how people are absorbing golf. I mean, you look what YouTube golf has done, right? Whether that's the Barstool and the tour, I applaud them because they've now welcomed them in to this ecosystem, and it's big viewership. It's the Bob Does Sports, it's the Good, it's the Horvats, it's the Barstool guys. Like, it's a different way to consume the product. Those are all fans of the game, and I think it's just a new generation, which is promising.
Well, it'll be very interesting to watch as Brian Rolapp starts to make his transition and take over the reins, to see just how much influence he will have over things, especially somebody from outside the insular world of professional golf. Pat McCabe, executive director of the American Express tournament, getting ready for that in January, but I know you're helping out some other tournaments around the country coming up here. We appreciate you taking a few minutes for us this morning. Have safe travels, and we can't wait to catch up with you again.
I appreciate it. Call me anytime. And crazy to think here, it's just about July and the last major of the year is coming up in a couple of weeks. So, golf season's in full swing, and thanks for having me on, and look forward to chatting soon.
We always appreciate when we get time with our good buddy, Pat McCabe. So there you go. Kind of, there's a, quite a buzz and a fair level of excitement about his perspective, how he views the PGA Tour, because if they can start to rope in some of those casual fans that just gravitate to the NFL, that is the territory that they need to get back to. That's what Tiger was able to bring them for so many years, trying to figure out how to get back to that. Let's come back and head down south in the valley. We'll head down to Lebanon, Mallard Creek Golf Course and RV Resort. Mark Tunstall is the PGA's GM and owner, proprietor down there. We'll talk to him about the facility and the RVing park golf world. There are a number of these facilities all around the country, what that lifestyle is like, and how to find out more about it as we make the turn. It's Golf in the Northwest on 1080 The Fan.
Which new driver is best for your game? Who makes the best golf gear? Where should you take your next golf vacation? Which local course should you get to know better? This is the Business of Golf, every week on Golf in the Northwest on 1080 The Fan.
8:32 here, Golf in the Northwest, Center and Saint following us. And then we got a little baseball for you, 12:30. This afternoon. That's what's coming up on The Fan. But right now, we head south, I-5, down there. I think it's exit, I don't know, Highway 34 down there. You turn right, you go to Corvallis. You turn left, you head out to Lebanon. And if you go far enough, you'll find the Mallard Creek Golf Course and RV Resort. And that's where we head now. General Manager, Head Golf Professional, Owner, Proprietor, Mark Tunstall, joining us here this morning. Good morning, Mark. How are things down in the valley?
Oh, Jason, they're great. Good morning. Thanks for having me on the air.
Oh, well, it's a pleasure to talk to you. If people recognize the name, you know his brother Brian, who's been up at Columbia Edgewater for a number of years, and he's joined us, I think, when we've done shows around the LPGA tournament that's been up there before, but our first opportunity to talk to you. So the first question, obviously, how did the golf bug get instilled into the Tunstall family?
Well, we actually owe the credit to my grandfather, who always found time to take my father and my brother and I out to the golf course. And we would get to ride along in the cart. Pretty soon we were steering. Next thing you know, we hit a shot or two, and it all kind of snowballed from there.
Now, where did you guys grow up? What was the course that your grandfather, did he have, was he a member? Gosh.
We called it Billy Goat Acres. I don't even know what it was. It was down in California. We only lived there till we were about 10.
Yeah.
We grew up in the Portland area, but played a lot of golf in Portland growing up too.
Well, and that, okay. So who's the better golfer? I know you guys are involved. You know, you guys will play in some Oh, go ahead.
You know how much better I am than Brian.
I know.
And that goes without question.
Well, I wanted you to say it on the record for everybody.
That's
wonderful. And so how did you come about? Because I know you've been down there with Mallard Creek for a while. How did you come about finding that particular course and settling in there?
Oh, my gosh. So long story short, my wife and I had loved the Bend area, and we were hoping to go to Bend. We were kind of looking at some jobs over there. And Troy Cummins called me back in 2002 and asked if I would be interested in looking at this property. And I came over and loved Troy and his family, the golf course. And we're in an area with a bunch of ponderosa pine, and it actually looks a lot like Bend. There's a house on the property, and it was too appealing to say no to.
Well, and no question. Now, this is one of those hidden gems as well. But you're just you're a little bit east of I-5, so you're up there in some forest area, some national forest area. Give everybody that hasn't been down there just a little idea of what the course is like. You look at the scorecard and the back tees, you can play this nearly 7,000 yards, assuming I'm looking at the right scorecard here.
You are.
But some very long par fours. Even from the middle tees, I see 450 on number 5. I see 456 on 17. So hopefully there are little elevated tee boxes to help some of us out.
There are. We've got 5 different sets of tees. The golf course is predominantly made out of bent grass, fairways, and greens. And over the years, Poana's done its thing like it does in the Willamette Valley anyways. But it's in beautiful condition. A lot of force carries over wetlands. Some upper tees you can play if you'd like to avoid those without having to hit the shot and still enjoy the beauty of it. There's not a home on the golf course other than the one we live in, and it's absolutely beautiful. We really enjoy it.
Well, and that's what we said with the RV park. And so I've always, you know, all of us, I think at one point have fantasized, man, I'm just selling everything. I'm getting a tricked out RV. I'm getting my own golf cart. I'm putting my clubs in there, and I'm driving around the country. But for those that actually have the gumption to go about and do it, how unique is it, and where do you kind of go to find out, you know, how many of these facilities, sometimes they're together like yours, other times there's an RV park and they have an affiliation with a golf course nearby, but just the lifestyle itself.
Well, the internet has certainly helped. If you were to just Google golf RV in whatever city you want to go to, you're going to find a lot of information. We've been consistently ranked in the top 100 in the Northwest for a golf and RV facility. Oftentimes, you'll find a really nice RV park with a small golf course next to it, maybe 9 holes. It's very rare that you find a really upscale RV park with a really upscale golf course next to it. And we're fortunate to have a couple here in Oregon.
And then your facility also has a complete facility, the driving range, but you have a chipping area, sand area, putting area, all of those things. And I know you're still giving some lessons, not as many as you've taken over operations, but Steve Hill is out there. He's been there for a number of years as well. And so if you want to be down there and take advantage of a full facility, that's one of the advantages of pulling up, hooking up, and staying there for a while.
Absolutely. And we get a whole bunch of people from all over the country that visit. Some of our closest friends are about to show up from New Zealand on the 4th of July weekend. And you're correct on saying Steve Hill, because he's an incredible teacher. We have people that come, and if they haven't played a lot of golf, they spend the week with him learning how to play. And by the time they're done, they're coming back for 2 weeks instead of one. And next thing you know, they stay for the summer.
Mark Tunstall, our guest here, the PGA general manager, owner, operator of Mallard Creek. golf course and RV park. What are some of the unique challenges in serving kind of people that, you know, obviously a lot of guests from the RV park, so they're probably coming in for a week or maybe 2 weeks or so. What are some unique things in running a golf course that you need to keep in mind that you've learned over the years?
Well, specifically on the RV side of things, we have 43 sites down there. Everybody seems to love a good bottle of wine, and every time you drive through to check on somebody, they want you to sit down and have a glass. So that's probably the biggest challenge, is learning to maybe stop at two or three glasses of wine before you end up, you know, weighing 300 or 400 pounds by the end of the summer.
Oh. And so what was it? You said you and your wife recently, I don't know how recent is recent, but took over and purchased the facility. And so, you know, we see like Troon and Kemper Sports and Escalante Golf and so many of these big corporations now running. What was it about being an independent proprietor ownership of a golf course facility that is attractive?
Well, it's always been a dream of mine to own our own business. And my wife and I have worked, I've been in the golf industry my entire life. And this kind of just happened to us. We'd been here for a long time, and I'd always took pride in the fact that I would run someone else's business as if it was my own. And then when that opportunity came, it was too good to say no to. What I didn't realize is you don't sleep the same when you own your own business. You might operate it the same, but the sleep patterns are certainly different. You worry about a lot of stuff that you don't need to, and you think about a lot of things at very odd hours of the night.
Well, no question, and obviously cost to acquire, you know, just simply the amount of property and facilities and infrastructure that, you know, you've got to have some capital to get in there in the first point. But, you know, it'd be nice to see. I was at a tournament at Elk Ridge last weekend, and another, you know, they got Carson Hot Springs right there, independently owned sort of thing. Does the golf industry need more of this rather than the big corporations coming in kind of turnkey stuff?
I don't know if that's the right question, I guess. There's certainly a place for corporate golf. They do a great job of systems. I worked for American Golf when I first got into the industry at the Corvallis Country Club. That was his former name. Learned a lot from those guys. I mean, when I look back on those days, there were some things that were very, very redundant that needed to be so they could do the reporting. But there were a lot of systems that I picked up on that I knew that I would value for the rest of my life. So we implement some of those here. But for the most part, I love local businesses. I love getting to know the families, being part of a community, and finding ways that you can give back to your community that you live into.
Chatting here with Mark Tunstall, the PGA General Manager, owner for Mallard Creek Golf Course and RV Park. Now, I know people are starting to make plans for the college football season, and I would gotta think if somebody's coming down to Oregon State, maybe even Oregon down there, that would be a perfect place to go set up for a long weekend, include some golf. Now, are there any either cabins or RVs there that are available, or campsites if you don't have an RV? Part of it, if people just want to come down and stay, or is it strictly just the slips for the RV park?
Right now, we are strictly just the slips for the RV park. It's something my wife, Charlie, and I have talked about a little bit, but for this point in time, we're just an RV resort. Don't quite have the capital to put the cabins on the course yet.
Gotcha. And then for people in the Portland area, it's an hour and a half drive to get down there, but a gorgeous drive at that. When's the ideal time, weekdays versus weekends? How far out in advance? Obviously open to the public. What should they know about if they're looking to come down wanting to play?
Well, we take tee time 7 days in advance, and we take RV reservations. We start in September for the following year, so we've had people making plans for quite a while. We still have plenty of openings for weekly stay-and-play packages. We do 2-day stay-and-play packages, live music on Friday nights starting up next week. And it'd be just a great little vacation if you want to get away for even a couple days. We'd love to have you here.
Oh, that sounds fantastic. As far as playing the course, if we send some people down there, couple of pieces of local knowledge that they should be prepared for when they get down there?
There's a couple of greens, hole number 10 and hole number 16 in particular, that slope away from you. And it looks subtle, but it's a little more severe than you realize. When you hit that one little hop spinner into the green, you find out it checks but rolls all the way to the back. You'll understand what I'm talking about. I'm going to put in a shameless plug. If anyone's looking for employment, we could use a couple extra people in the golf shop and maybe the bar area.
Oh, there you go. Well, what better place? There is no better place to work, I'm convinced, than a golf course. Everybody seems to have a smile on their face, at least when they start their rounds. I know coming in might be a different case, but if they want to get in touch either to make a tee time, learn more about the course, or see if they're looking to fill one of those positions, what's the best way to get in touch with you?
Just have them call me direct at our club phone number, 259-GOLF. And for those of you that don't know what that means, it's 259-4653, or just say, hey, Siri, call Mallard Creek.
There you go. Online, it's mallardcreekgc.com. You can link to making a tee time, learn all about it. I'm gonna have to make a trip down to the Valley. We've had a couple other courses in PGA professionals, some of the other courses down there. Make a weekend out of it, but looking forward to it. Mark Tunstall, thank you so much for taking some time for us this morning, and hopefully we'll get down your way here sometime, maybe early fall when things slow down a bit.
Swags, thank you very much. I appreciate it, and we'd love to see you.
There you go. Mark Tunstall, PGA General Manager, owner, Mallard Creek Golf Course and RV Resort. That's mallardcreekgc.com. Head on down there. And like I said, not just one of those little nine-hole things that they have there. It is a full-on golf course, 6,938 yards from the back tees on the card. Again, full driving range, full practice facilities, full golf shop, nice bar. And if you've got the RV, just tug it on down. He said they still have some openings here going into the fall. So we thank him for joining us. When we come back, a little discussion. Keegan Bradley now, after winning the Travelers Championship, moved up to ninth in the Ryder Cup points. He's seventh in the world golf rankings. He happens to be the captain for September's Ryder Cup matches at Bethpage Black. Will he put himself on the team if he doesn't qualify on his own? We'll discuss that as we wrap things up. Golf in the Northwest on 1080 The Fan. 8:49 here this morning, wrapping up another edition of Golf in the Northwest. We're going to be out and about here in July and August. We'll do live shows from Chehalem Glen, the resort at Mount Hood. We'll go back there. Tom's going to have us back in August. Portland Indoor Golf Club, new indoor facility out there in Beaverton near the Hoop. We're looking to set a date to head out there probably in late August. So some fun coming up. And then at the end of July, I'll be out at my home course out at Forest Hills. Marcus will join us. We can get Joey to join us out there, let you know about all the renovations and all the stuff that he's done. It's so dialed in right now. Like I said, the weather from winter to spring to summer has been so gradual, mild, consistent, no extremes. The courses, wherever you're playing, we had the Fan Golf Classic on Tuesday. Langdon looked great. It was just dialed in all across the area. There is no better time to get out and play. Play anywhere. Go play. If you want to get better, we always say, and that's what Harold's preach forever, you want to get into it, you want to enjoy it, you want to improve, go find a PGA professional, get some lessons, let them help you build a plan for you, whether you're just trying to start the game and establish some fundamentals, or whether you're trying to go from a 20 handicap down to a 10 handicap, whatever the case may be, find yourself a golf professional. As we mentioned, The Ryder Cup coming up at the end of September. Bethpage Black. You're going to need some bombers. Scottie Scheffler and Rory McIlroy have officially clinched their spots. So they were going to be on the teams no matter what, but they are the first players for both the United States and Team Europe to officially lock up a spot. The big question for the U.S. team is, will captain Keegan Bradley at age 39 become the first playing captain since Arnold Palmer, who was 34 back in 1963, he was the last playing captain. And after winning the Travelers, it's always been hinted at. The media's talked about it. Keegan's tried to play it off. He can't avoid it anymore. And in his winner's press conference, he finally addressed it head on.
Yeah, I mean, listen, this changes the story a little bit. I never would have thought about playing if I hadn't won. And, you know, this definitely opens the door to play. I don't know if I'm going to do it or not, but I certainly have to take a pretty hard look at what's best for the team, and we'll see. We still got it's still June, so you know we still got a long ways to go. But this definitely changes things a little bit, and we'll all get together and figure out the best way to do this.
And so his first foray into this, it was just a year ago that he found out everything was lining up for Tiger Woods to be the Ryder Cup captain. But again, more surgeries for him. He's been very involved in the inner workings of the PGA Tour. Are they going to get back together with LIV Golf? Now, he was involved in the group that went and found Brian Rolapp to come in and take over for Monahan. So he's had a lot on his plate. But the whole key for this, if he's able to do it and decides that it's best for the team, is his vice captains. And he talked about that's the only way this will work.
Yeah, I got the call at 8 o'clock tonight, a year ago today. So I've been getting these questions for a year, you know, whether I play well or play poorly, something that I've become used to. To be honest with you, I never really planned on playing. I really wanted to just be the captain. I really felt strongly about that. You know, I want to serve the guys. They asked me to do a job. I want to do it to the best of my abilities. Now with the amazing vice captains that I have, and I have a better perspective of, you know, playing in the President's Cup and being around a lot of the guys, I feel a lot more comfortable if I went that route. I'm really proud of the guys that are vice captains, and, you know, obviously you got Jim Furyk, you know, one of the greatest players to play, and also an incredibly great captain of the President's Cup.
Yeah, so he was the captain of the 2018 Ryder Cup team in France, but he's been a vice captain at Whistling Straits in 2021 and 2016 at Hazeltine, both victories for the U.S. So he'll be able to serve a lot of the things for Keegan that he would be working with, you know, during the thing. Obviously, the key is, you know, he's going to be now in the FedEx Cup playoffs. How much work can he get done ahead of time so that they have a plan before they get to September and start really focusing in on the groups, how they want to set it up? Do they want to do the quad system that's been used before, interchangeable, you know, four guys, and we'll change up the pairings, that sort of thing? If he is still playing well and he gets up further, you know, into the top five in the world golf rankings, I think the players are going to want him to play if he is hot. It will be hard for him to say no, but with Kevin Kisner and with Brant Snedeker and Webb Simpson and Furyk, I think he's got a brain trust there. So then it's mapping out what he's got to do, how much time he needs to be a player when he gets there versus his Ryder Cup captain duties. He talked about the PGA, though, saw they envisioned this when they first called him.
I don't know. I it's the lowest I've ever been in the world. You know, when they called me and told me that I was being the Ryder Cup captain, the first thing they said was, we want you to be the first playing captain since Arnold Palmer in 1962. And my head was spinning. I didn't know what they were talking about, but they knew that that was a possibility and that we would have things in place for that. But, you know, I'm always trying to be the best that I can be, and I feel like I'm playing the best golf of my career right now. And, you know, a year ago, I don't know if I would have thought I'd be seventh in the world, but I certainly thought I'd be, you know, contending in tournaments.
I can't believe what the scene would be like on the first tee of the first match on Friday at Bethpage Black if the captain comes out and plays in the first match. You want to get that place fired up. And Keegan is a fiery guy. He loves this stuff. He loves it. He is a competitor. He loves all sports. He loves to be in it. He's good buddies with Michael Jordan. If he can sustain his play and it doesn't fall off where he's concerned about it, I think the PGA will convince him to be that first playing captain. He is having a good time at the Rocket Classic. He's 7 under. As long as he stays up there in the top 10 in FedEx Cup points and in the World Golf Rankings, I think this will get done, and it'll be quite a scene in September. We will keep an eye on that. We want to give thanks to Mark Tunstall. Thanks to Pat McCabe for joining us. Schultzy and Will going to be center and saining it here for you for the next 2 hours. I'll talk to you next Saturday. Until then, I'm Jason. Hit 'em straight.